Ron, can you hear me? Too bad. And you were expecting me to sit down? I will. Happy New Year. Good morning. Tom didn't learn a lesson because he invited me back. And I don't know why, but we'll see what happens here. Thank you, Jennifer, for reading that scripture. You did better than I would have done, that's for sure. We take a look at these two books, Luke and Acts, and we get introduced to a man called Theophilus. Who the heck is Theophilus? Anybody know? I can tell you. I don't know either. Theophilus, when we take a look at, I'm just going to go into Luke 1 real quick, just to give you an idea of how important Theophilus was to Luke. And it says in Luke 1, it says, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. We wonder why Luke wrote to Theophilus. Where did they start their relationship? What was it like? We find that he addresses Theophilus as the most excellent. And in the Roman Empire, when you were addressed as a man in authority, you were addressed, excellent one. So we know that Theophilus was held a position of authority in the Roman government. When we look at Acts 1, we find that the opening statement is, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up. We find that now he calls him O Theophilus. That is a statement of friendship. We find that throughout this period of time, these two letters were written, Luke was written right around 60 AD. Acts was written between 62 and 64. So we see a span of time between these two letters that were written. And we know that Theophilus was important to Luke because it's one of the letters in the gospel that is addressed to a person. Usually when Paul speaks, he addresses the church, but he addressed Timothy, he addressed Titus. We find him addressing other people, but Theophilus, we don't know anything about why Luke wanted to see how important Theophilus was and why he was addressed the way he was. And in Luke 1, we find an answer to that. We find that Luke possibly, through the time period of the two letters, established a really good relationship with Theophilus. We don't know. We're not told much. But at the end of Luke 1:4, it says, that you may certainly, concerning the things you have been taught, the things that I write to you will introduce you to the truth of the kingdom of God. We find that he was taught. And when we read Luke, we see a lot of references to Jewish tradition, to festivals and other things. So that particular sentence tells me that he may have had a mother that was a Jew, and he was taught the Jewish ways, and his father was possibly a Gentile in holding a office of some type. So when Luke wrote this letter, to begin with, he wrote it so that the teaching that Luke would receive would reinforce what he was taught. And we find that at the end of Luke, on 24:44 through 50, we find in 44, Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." That is the three areas of reading that the Jew would have to point to Christ. So when Luke opens, when he ends the book of Luke, he tells Theophilus, the things that you wrote, that read in the book of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets are fulfilled. If you see all the things that you have learned. And then Jesus said this, then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. Now we're going to look at some verbs that are in both Luke and Acts. This verb, opened, Jesus said he opened their minds to understand the scripture. These are the disciples. They were raised in learning about things through the book of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. But the true understanding wasn't there. What we read and think that we understand, it's fine. But what Jesus did was he said, I will open your minds so that you understand the truth of the Word of God. And when he did that, he was preparing the disciples to be ready to accept what will be before them. So when Theophilus read that, he understood that his mind could be opened by Jesus. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he opened their minds, he can open ours. If we pray, open my mind, Lord, so that I can understand this scripture. You know, it's a lot of words, a lot of things in here. But if we are humble enough to allow Jesus to open our minds to understand the scripture, we will have a greater understanding of who he is. And You know, Luke lays out the ascension and at the end of Luke, and it's really short. It, you know, he ascends, he blesses them, he ascends. But then we go to Acts, and we see that Luke reiterates the ascension again. Why? That question is, you know, if I'm reading a letter and I come to the end of it, and then I go to the next letter that I receive, a lot of times that letter carries forth the thought process that the writer is writing about. So what Luke was doing was he was now showing Theophilus how much greater the authority of the kingdom of God is. And what we see is he tells them in Acts 1:4, while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Jesus said, do not depart. Wait. How many of us get tired of waiting? I can remember what wait. United States Marine Corps. Hurry up and wait. Hours on the grinder waiting for an instructor to come out to get you to do whatever they wanted you to do. So with me for waiting, I have to be careful that when I wait, I don't wait like I did in the United States Marines. But I will have patience to wait upon what Jesus wants me to understand and need. And he was telling his disciples to do that. I'm wondering how easy it was for them to wait. It was pretty difficult through the time period that they were facing. They were facing, after 40 days, when Jesus spent 40 days with them and was ascended, they understood what wait meant, because every single day they spent with Jesus, and he was able to show them that he wasn't just a spirit, but when he asked for food, they would feed him. It showed the full impact of the human being. What was the promise that the Father made? The Father promised that there would be one that would come to empower them and to strengthen them and to lift them up, to allow them to be able to face the difficulties that the apostles will be facing. There's going to be some very, very difficult times for them as we go into the book of Acts. The next thing that they did was when they came together, they asked the Lord, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" They don't get it. Remember, he was talking about the kingdom of God. And they asked him, when are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They're still in the physical aspect of things. Even when Jesus said, open your minds, it takes a while for our minds to open to receive the truth and the understanding that the scripture wants to share with us. So when they asked him that, his response was, he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." When we were waiting on the Lord and preparing for to go into YWAM, it was like Wanda said, about a year. It was a time that we waffled back and forth. Are we to sell our house? Are we to rent it out? Are we to rent it out? We had a security blanket there that we could lean upon if we rented the house. And it was a time when the house market was in terrible shape in Helena. Nothing was selling. Very few people that put their houses on the market waited and waited. A lot of them waited for over a year before their houses were even sold. So towards the end of the year that we're preparing, and we then understood that we need to sell the house. When we made that decision and got a hold of a good friend of ours that was a realtor, we said, go ahead and list it. And we were walking, we were in Safeway in Helena and standing in line, and we were talking to a person that we knew. And the first thing that they said, "I don't know if you're ever going to sell your house." The negative aspect of that could have destroyed all the work that God did throughout that year. Because all of a sudden, the negativity of it was the point that we could have reflected upon and said, well, maybe we made the wrong decision. When our friend, the realtor, listed it, it sold in one day. And that shows me that preparation is an important thing. And that's what we find with the disciples. When they are told to wait in Jerusalem, they are preparing. How are they preparing? It said that all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. How do we prepare today to receive the Holy Spirit? Are we praying for him? Are we asking that God will empower us and strengthen us in a place where we will have the strength necessary to face some of the difficult challenges that are ahead? Are we worshiping him? Are we giving time to him so that our hearts and our minds will be prepared for what the Holy Spirit will have for us? Are we gathering together, praying together, worshiping together, and allowing the Lord to move in each other's lives? Are we encouraging one another? Remember, this group of people just went through a difficult time. They watched Jesus crucified. Then they saw him being ascended to heaven. All of a sudden, he's taken away from them again. Wow. What impact would that have on a person's mind and thoughts? So when they gather together, it's not only for prayer and worship, and in one accord, it says, everyone was in one accord. It was to strengthen each other so that they would understand that they weren't left alone, that there was a promise that Jesus said to them, the Father has promised us, but you need to wait in Jerusalem. You need to prepare yourself for what is about to happen. And you need to understand that sometimes waiting is not just for a day. For them, it was a period of maybe a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We don't know for sure. But we know that they gathered every single day to worship and praise and pray, not only for what is before them, but for their families, for their friends that didn't receive the truth and the understanding of who Jesus was. So we can see how important it is for us to gather together, to pray together, to worship together, and to encourage one another together. Because if we stand alone, we don't have the strength to wait. And if we stand alone, that's when the enemy's got us and takes us out from being in the presence of God in many ways. We take a look at these disciples, and when Luke speaks to Theophilus, he just says that, you know, this is what happened. You read my first letter. You saw how the ascension happened. Now let me reintroduce that so you have an understanding that Jesus just didn't leave right away. He spent time with the disciples to allow Theophilus to know that he's not alone, that Jesus is with him every single day of his life. Because in the book of Luke, that whole letter was showing what Jesus could do, the power and the authority he had from the kingdom of God. This letter now allows Theophilus to understand the power and the authority of the kingdom of God here upon this earth. We have the authority of the kingdom of God. Do we walk in that authority? Do we allow Jesus to strengthen us in order for us to be witnesses? Remember what he said, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Well, the end of the earth at that time, they didn't know about, like we do today. We know a world, but they didn't. As far as they knew, the Roman Empire was the end of the world, end of the earth. So when Luke is explaining that to Theophilus, he was giving him the understanding that it will first happen in Jerusalem. When you receive the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit, that's where it will begin. But don't stop there. Keep going. Keep going into Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And as we look at the book of Acts, we will see how that progresses from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria. And then, of course, with Paul and his missionary journeys to the end of the earth. They say possibly that Paul made it to Spain. We don't know. But that was one of his goals as he was traveling in his different missionary journeys. So I think the challenge for us today is, are we willing to wait? Are we willing to wait for things to happen in our lives that we thought would be fulfilled. Are we willing to wait to see family members that are non-Christians become believers? Are we willing to wait through the difficulty of a social atmosphere that causes us to make decisions that may not be for the kingdom? How are we preparing? Are we preparing for things that are ahead of us? As the disciples began with the authority of the Holy Spirit, they were getting prepared for the challenges that will be ahead of them. There's one man that's in this group that not too long from this period of time will he die. James. We find others that will face difficult situations. And we see as we read the book of Acts, we will have a greater understanding of why Jesus says, wait and prepare and receive. Allow our minds and our hearts to receive the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. And all we have to do is ask. Because Jesus said it was promised by the Father. Do you believe in the promises of the Father? If you do, then we can receive the Holy Spirit. We can be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. We can receive peace through the Holy Spirit in times when things are just falling apart. We face difficulties today that very few people face, and most of it is social pressure. And with that, we can become very weak because we are bombarded daily with all these different thoughts and processes. What we need to do is be in the Word. We need to understand and pray that Jesus will give us an understanding of the Word so that we have the strength and the ability to know when we are being taken slowly away from the truth and exposed to the darkness. It's like the old adage of the frog. You know, you throw a frog in boiling water, he jumps out. But you put a frog in cold water and allow that water to come to a boil slowly, he will die. See what our society and our cultures are doing today? We are like that frog. We can be in that water and we can slowly die because of the process that the enemy is using to reinforce the thoughts of darkness. That's why we need to be prepared by the Holy Spirit so that we can discern truth from falsehood. Let us pray. Father, as we come to the end of your word today, we just thank you so much that there is promises in it. Jesus said he would open our minds. And today, Father, I pray that my mind would be open more to the truth and the understanding of your word. And I pray that prayer over the gathering of believers today in this building. I also thank you that the promise of the Holy Spirit is a promise that I can rely upon because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you said you will receive the promise, we know that that promise will come true. So I pray that my heart and my mind would be able to accept your guidance by your Holy Spirit for an opening that I need to have. And I pray that I can wait, that I would be able to be prepared to receive power on high. And Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence in this place. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. You are the Son of God. You are the one who allows us to grow in your presence as you guide us daily. And we just pray that you would prepare us now for this new year that we have upon us. That you would prepare us, that you would give us eyes of discernment and ears to listen to your voice. And we just thank you that you are the mighty God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.